Welcome to the Talented Learning Show podcast series, episode 98. I'm your host, independent learning tech analyst John Lay of Talented Learning. Today, I interview Gil Williams, National Sales Manager at the Propeller LMS, about the unique challenges and opportunities of learning and development in the manufacturing sector. You can find more of our fiercely independent content at talentedlearning.com. Welcome back, listeners. On this show, I'm fortunate to interview the world's leading experts in extended enterprise learning technology from both the vendor and the practitioner sides of the fence. And today we're joined by someone who works with the manufacturing organizations every day and understands how training actually gets done on the ground, but from the vendor perspective. Gil, as the National Sales Manager at Propeller LMS, formerly FAX, we'll learn about that, works directly with manufacturers as they build training programs to support compliance, safety onboarding, workforce development, and extended enterprise learning in very complex and often very stringent environments, compliance environments. I love interviewing sales leaders because I come from being a sales leader and an enterprise sales rep for 14 years prior to Talented Learning. It's really the experience that I got on the front lines that allowed me to transition into becoming an analyst and starting the business here at Talented Learning. In this episode, we're going to explore buying behaviors, common use cases, content strategy, mobile approach, AI adoption, and how LMS success is measured in manufacturing. And that's just for starters. Keep on listening. Gil, welcome to the Talented Learning Show. It's sure great to have you here.
Absolutely, John. Always a pleasure. Appreciate you letting me join you, man. This is always a really fun time. I love your insight. Hopefully I can share a little bit myself and let's have a good time.
Let's have a good time. We've been on each other's podcast now multiple times, webinars together. So it's always fun bringing you in. One of the reasons is because you live on the front lines, just like I do, of buying and selling learning systems. And I actually had your job for almost 14 years of my life. And that's what made me qualified to be an analyst, because marketing people and executives, senior executives, a lot of times they get caught up in the spin and the marketing of it. But when you have to deliver a message and you get to see the look on a customer's face right in front of you, whether that's resonating or not, and what's important and what's not, it gives you a whole different perspective. And so I love when you bring that perspective to the show. And we're going to bring that perspective today on the manufacturing industry, where you've been killing it, doing really good as an organization and personally. But before we get into there, Propeller's a new name. Why don't you take a step back? Tell us who you are. You're a new name, but not a new company. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, no problem. So for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Gil Williams, National Sales Manager for Propeller. So Propeller is a new name, but we've been around since 2008 to our core, right? Originally CD2 Learning. And then we've joined the Nelnet family of businesses. And Propeller is our learning platform specifically dedicated to the corporate and businesses that are out there in Fuel America. And so that particular sector in which we have get an opportunity to support those businesses alongside all the phenomenal organizations across education and various other industries that Nelnet serves, Propeller is our brand in which we get to serve businesses across different sectors. And today we're going to talk a lot about manufacturing, and that's one of my favorite core markets that we get to serve as well, and help the everyday person just be their better self. So it's really cool.
Awesome. Awesome. What type of manufacturers do you work with? Let's start the big picture.
Yeah. So it's always a really great question. We've been working with manufacturers, you know, really frankly along the line and at different stages, right? From mining to fabrication, to true heavy industrial manufacturers, like in the rail car space, all the way into, you know, whether it be tractors to medical devices. We've worked with a lot of different manufacturers in this realm. And so it's really unique to see the different types of needs and problems that these organizations face every day. And, you know, you talk about whether being an analyst or salesperson, the cool thing about what we get to do is we're in the front lines, literally seeing problems that we get to help companies solve. And then also the day-to-day problems of the people that do the work. We're helping them be better and solve their daily problems as well, to get back to it and have fun and do a great job. So we work with organizations across a lot of different verticals in the manufacturing space.
Mm-hmm. And if you're looking cross verticals, across these sectors? What are some common challenges? What are the three biggest or a couple biggest challenges that manufacturers are facing right now with learning?
Sure. I think the easy ones to knock off is obviously safety and compliance, right? We're talking about people's livelihoods, but we're also talking about their lives and keeping them safe. And when you talk about productivity, safety is a huge component of that. So how do I not only just do things really, really high productivity in my function and my workflow, but how do I do that in a safe way, in a repeatable safe way, right? And so safety and compliance from the actual performance of the safety, ensuring that they are not getting injured and reducing those incidences, all the way into making sure that we're keeping risk management all the way to a low from a cost perspective, as well as obviously the safety incidences themselves. But common use cases, I think that one of the more fun ones that we get to see now is there's a major gap in the manufacturing space around skill, a huge skill gap in the manufacturing space. I think a recent stat that I saw is that over the next 10 years, there's going to be about 3.8 million new jobs in manufacturing that's expected in the United States. Well, with that comes from, there's a major skill gap in that when we're starting to see higher turnovers, less entry points of new hires into this space as well. And so between that and another really crazy stat is around 2 million unfilled jobs within that are already currently out there over the next what is that, 5 years till 2030. Can't believe that's already 5 years away. And so until 2030, we're talking about 2 million jobs unfilled because they don't have the skills to be able to do it. And so there's huge gaps that manufacturers are already facing today around succession planning, around knowledge gaps and safety, but that's only going to continue to get exacerbated as our country continues to invest in this sector as well. So where we fit in is helping organizations operate safely, operate in a really productive way, but also making sure that they have a legacy of people coming down the pipeline that can do great work for them as well.
Why are so many jobs open?
I think that we've been in a part of a culture that hasn't focused on this space. Again, it hasn't always been for the new and younger people. This always hasn't been the cool thing to do in the manufacturing space. But outside of that, what we're also seeing is, you know, the baby boomer age gaps that are starting to retire in there and the legacy people coming in, but then growth in the sector too. We have a lot of macro and microeconomics coming just in this actual in our country itself. And I think that some of those things can definitely boost this space. So that's a lot of the driver of the gaps in the future gaps coming too.
And what specifically or semi-specifically, what skills do you need? Is it, wouldn't it be organization specific, or is there skills that are organization agnostic that's missing?
Well, I definitely think there's soft agnostic skills. However, one company is one company, and we really like to think it that way. And so we definitely try not to take a one size fits all approach to our learning programs and how we partner with each organization. Your business is unique because you've built it that way and the people within it have built it that way. And so what we're here to do is help to extract that uniqueness and what makes you special and put that into a form that can be repeated by the people that come, whether behind you or alongside you. And so I do like to believe that one company is one company, and we do a great job of helping them to really amplify the tools that make them unique.
Who's in charge of learning in manufacturing? Is that L&D? Is that HR? Is that compliance? Is that IT? Like who owns this?
Who owns L&D?
Who owns the learning management system in particular?
Yeah, so L&D, it's such a trick question. I actually got asked this question yesterday and I go, man, do you have time to list all the different titles, you know? So it varies. So a lot of times we see HR always typically has a component because there's compliance regulations there. But it really depends on the organization and where they weight from an HR and learning perspective. So are they a true learning company where they value the development of professionals, or are they a risk mitigation and compliance shop? And so that's typically kind of the questions that we ask early on in our discovery process is, hey, what's your priorities? Are you trying to invest in the people and grow productivity right now? I'm sure that's always a priority. but is it risk mitigation? And so typically those are the early stages that help to create signal to who owns it, which then it falls either to the HR L&D team or the EHS, the safety side of things.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. But that's all for the employee component of this. What happens when organizations or do manufacturers embrace their extended enterprise? Are they focusing on their dealer networks, their distribution networks, their customers? Is any of that coming to play?
I'm so glad you said that, John, because absolutely. And some of the best programs that we have and the best clients we have recognize that the support that they're providing through learning isn't just for their internal community, but it's also for the external community as well, because we have partner networks and we have customers that utilize this equipment that we are manufacturing or creating. And it's our job to make sure that they have a great experience with that at the manufacturing organization, and frankly, then Propeller with our learning platform, right? And so Propeller can be a great tool to provide great customer or partner experiences, to help provide product education, business education on who we are, that you're representing us if you're a distribution. And then as a customer, like, here's the tips and trades of best ways to use this material. We've also seen some really cool ways in driving just cultural and experience that way of driving customers to a space. Hey, be a part of it. Here's some best practices to use our equipment outside of just, hey, how do you use it? Here's some best practices, tips to the trade. Phenomenal client that I want to boast about a little bit is Bernina. They do a fantastic job about this internationally as well as domestically here in the United States, supporting their dealer network partners who resell their equipment, as well as straight to their consumers and giving them tips to the trades of whether it be their different sewing projects at their houses. And so it's a way for them to nurture and support their partners at the dealer level, but also make sure that they're creating culture and community at the customer experience as well.
Is it more common for manufacturers to handle those external audiences separately or holistically with all of the audience, employees, customers, and partners on the same learning system? What have you seen more of?
So I see it both ways. I typically really like to see it when it's in one environment, right? One tenancy. It just really comes down to, again, priorities of the organization. And we have built our system in a way that allows for, under one roof of one data roll-up, you can have the different branchings, whether it be internal or external. And so I typically like that, mainly from the experience of the client's side of things, because they can repurpose that education without having to recreate and duplicate. And so where I really like to do that, it makes managing these systems really easy from one place, removes a lot of barriers of questions and time to manage the programs in different places, because you can repurpose that in one environment and with a few clicks be able to nurture and push learning out on both sides.
Interesting. About 20 years ago, when I was carrying a sales bag, I got assigned the manufacturing industry. And at that point, almost every potential client, LMS was a new thing. It was something that they were doing the first time. It's been decades. How's it right now? Are the majority of manufacturers replacing consolidating systems, or are they still fighting it out on old stuff and this is their first modern system? What have you been seeing?
You're going to get tired of me saying I see all of it, but so we're in a really fun one right now where we're driving real impact for a great organization that we're consolidating across six different systems into one consolidation project. Cool. But also I see some really high-end manufacturing organizations that across their plants, they're still tracking safety on spreadsheets. And so you see the gambit. Typically, what we're seeing is a lot of organizations who have started to dabble in this. It's usually a check the box scenario, and they're recognizing that, hey, training is more of, it's a strategic tool. It's not just a check the box experience. It actually can help drive and help our business reach goals. It doesn't have to just be a risk mitigation program for a manufacturing organization. And so we're starting to see organizations really in the mid-market recognize, like, hey, I'm outgrowing what I have today, my check the box system. Typically that's embedded into a payroll or an HRIS system or one of the low-end LMSs that are standalone. And then we can come in and we really specialize in that, saying, hey, what are you ultimately trying to accomplish? This is new territory for you. we do this every day, and we'll be a partner along your side as you start to mature your learning programs. And then let's be honest, learning is evergreen. It never stops. And so these programs constantly evolve. And so having the right system that makes that evolution really easy and simple rather than dragging you back is really important. And so a good system can help you do that.
What about, let's shift gears a little bit, Gil, and move into content. So, sure. You know, my perception and a lot of people's perception is safety content, compliance content is kind of boring. to say the least. Is what's content look like? Are they just getting off the shelf? Is there tell us the current state of content? Is it video now? Is it reading PDFs? Is, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, off the shelf content is still strong. I think that what you start to see though is that a lot of people are starting to open up their minds to saying, "Hey, we can do better than this, right?" And our people deserve better than this too. And so I really love when we have conversations with organizations who would like to dabble into creating their own. They just don't know how to get started, or they don't have the tool sets or experience to do it. And so with the right tools and the right mindset, utilizing the expertise that you have in-house is always more effective to create content that is specific to you. And so that way you can make sure that you're getting the right use out of it and the right information in the hands of the people that need it. And so what we typically encourage is we're content agnostic around here, but if you have the ability to, and you have the subject matter expertise in-house, take the time to put this in place for you. That way, you know, your people know it's built for them. It's meant for them.
Interesting. So one of the challenges is a lot of manufacturing, all of manufacturing, more or less, all of the,
yeah,
the workers in manufacturing anyway, aren't sitting at a computer. So how's that handled now? It used to be handled like with kiosks. Is it getting any smarter than that? Is it mobile? What's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. We see kiosks is still a strong play, especially when there's a lot of dangerous moving parts around in on the manufacturing floor on that front line. You'll typically see kiosks or a designated place simply because if you've ever been on a manufacturing floor, you've seen the yellow trails that you have to follow, and there are dedicated spots to ensure that you're safe. So it's a part of the safety protocol. So kiosks are definitely a common thing in this space, whether it be old school computer kiosks. Typically what we're seeing a lot of now is movement towards iPads or different tablet-based kiosks or spaces for learning. Other aspects is obviously learning and training rooms. So if there is a need to pull people off the floor and into an education room, a lot of organizations will have education rooms in pair with their kiosks that are on the floor. And mobile, whether it be tablet on the move or mobile phone, is definitely a big one that's ever rising in this space. And so you're starting to see more organizations be open-minded to having tablets or mobile-friendly devices on the floor and truly mobile, not stagnant, because it's just a different culture. We're evolving as a culture to be more comfortable with these things.
Interesting. If an organization decides to build some of their own content, a lot of times it's around the lowest hanging fruit is around their own proprietary products and services, because that's typically not something you're going to find anywhere else off the shelf. So if you're going to build content like that, one of the trends now, maybe another way to ask it, is AI involved in helping build this content at all? Are you using or is that exist in the industry to help manufacturers build content?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love AI for helping to remove the noise, cut through documentation, to remove paralysis of creating content. A lot of AI is really great for taking your resources you have today and helping you to build the outlines and the structures of your learning programs. And then with generative AI, it's a really great tool to take your information, your generalized information, and start to really create copy and fill that copy timeline down. As well as imagery, obviously. And I'm very excited for the video base and see what that can do too. So I'm not sure if you've played around with the Google stuff, but video based creation is, I think, going to be game changer for all sectors, especially the manufacturing sector.
Wow. Interesting. One of the trends in the industry that I've seen and that I continue to see is organizations have a focus first on whether you know something, but now what's really becoming popular is whether you can actually do something. Do you see that doing stuff like filming you, changing out a spark plug, operating this machine, you know, breaking something down, does that exist? Is that something that is only for the elite, or do you see that happening more and more often?
Well, traditionally it has only been for the elite, but I love those programs and those types of use cases. I call them safe fail opportunities or evaluations, right? To make sure that things are going the right way. And so we recommend building in those sort of workflow submission components into learning, right? Learning comes in different mediums, from asynchronous to live to, hey, I need you to double check my work here and make sure I'm doing it correctly. And so an organization that can support those is really a powerful way to move people through their training, reduce that seat time, and make sure they're productive and safe as well. And so whether it be for compliance purposes or company specific processes and making sure that they're reducing, you know, whether it be wasted materials, injuries, or anything like that, it's really important processes to use your, whether it be video based or phone or images to have evaluations within that process. Absolutely.
And with evaluations, do you need a live body, a training manager to grade that, or is AI involved in that too?
No, so I see it both ways. AI is a phenomenal way in checking that out. A lot of organizations still have a human component. If it's a video or image-based analysis, a lot of organizations will still have a human-based component to reviewing that information, particularly in the Propeller platform when a learner can press submit on an upload for approval, for instance, upload this information for approval from your manager. Well, that then triggers a review process for that manager in the system to be able to go review that material, whether it be an incident report log, a video or an image taken and uploaded into the system, is a typical way that we see, at least in the manufacturing space, for checking those evaluations. And what reason why is typically evaluations also will then be coupled with a manager proficiency sort of checklist as well. So a performance review process that goes through that. And so that can be done through AI. We still see a lot of manufacturing organizations do that with human power though, because they want to have that human touch to it.
How about XR, AR, VR? Does that show up in manufacturing?
Yes. VR has been around for a while in manufacturing space. It's been around for a while in a lot of frontline workspaces. I still don't see it catching the legs that I'd love to see it go to. It's a hard thing to scale. And that's mainly because the equipment, but really in my opinion, John, what's really holding back VR, and I'd love for someone to prove me wrong on this, I really, really would, but I think to be able to create the virtual reality content at scale that matches the physics and all of that aspect to make it a true virtual reality experience, it has some room to come to make that a scalable use case. In my opinion, I definitely see a lot of really cool tools out there. And I think that AI is for the first time presenting an opportunity to make that possible. And it's only a matter of time before that does. But still, there's barriers as far as from a virtual reality perspective. Where do you put them? Where are they designated space to put these goggles on and things of that nature? There's limitations and things to think through there. The real opportunity, in my opinion, I think that I'm excited to watch happen over the next 2 to 10 years is how augmented reality gets built into the actual day-to-day workflow of these employees and how learning gets built into that workflow. I think for the first time, with what we're starting to see with some of these augmented reality glasses that are coming out and technology, scalable, makes it kind of gives you some hints and peeks into under the hood of what could be coming down the line for manufacturing organizations to help guide, onboarding faster, to reducing risks and protocols and analyzing those things through AI, and then building augmented reality aspects of that into the day-to-day flow of a learner.
Got a for instance to help paint the picture?
I don't have any for instance that I can talk about today. I really wish I could, but I think that take a look at what you're seeing around a lot of these cool AI companies that are putting things out there with conversational AI and built into glasses. I think that gives you a pretty good little foreshadowing into what I believe the future is coming.
Mm-hmm. What tends to kick off an LMS search at a manufacturer? Like, what's the compelling event to get them off a dime?
Yeah, I think that technology advancement, a lot of manufacturing organizations are starting to hit the point where they're outgrowing or they're recognizing I gotta update my technology stack. Acquisitions, mergers and acquisitions is a common one too, whether it be a consolidation effort or I have to invest in learning and development to onboard this new organization in a sufficient way. So those are definitely two core. What we talked about earlier, just evolving and outgrowing current systems or current processes is definitely a huge one. Demands of a new generation is another one, but also just pure growth, right? And so I think that what you're starting to see is these manufacturing organizations really gearing up for what could come, wanting to invest in their people, wanting to make it safe environment that people want to work there and they feel invested in and supported, and they're recognizing they have to or should do that. And so it's been fun to see some of these great historical organizations really invest back into their people who work for them.
Yeah, no doubt. And really just because of the gap of employees, you know, showing employees and developing employees and supporting them in that way and not having them turn over has to be critical for all these organizations. If there's 5 million open jobs that are out there or whatever that full number was.
Now, I found the stats. 2.1 million U.S. Manufacturing jobs could go unfilled by 2030, John. That's crazy. And if we can help people and professionals to be able to fill those and do a great job and feel accomplished doing it, It's not much else you need to have behind you to make you want to work really hard to make that happen.
Yeah, no doubt. How about the tech stack? What's a typical tech stack that is the LMS an ecosystem? Is it tied into what? Or is it tied into what?
So typically we're tying into HR systems for their, just to make the enrollment process and the data sharing across their safety and compliance. It just depends on where they house their kind of source of truth for learning and training data, whether it be a risk mitigation or safety platform, or it may be their HR platform, in which is in their core tech stack as far as the hub for learning. Or sometimes our learning program is their hub for data and safety compliance records too. So that's typically the tech stack in which we integrate it at the simplest way to put it. And then there's a lot of other little things of, one company is one company in which they need us to integrate to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're covering a lot of ground. What about a lot of times in manufacturing, you'll have like a training manager just gather, I don't know, a handful or a shift together and say, okay, let's cover this real quick. And from a training perspective, does that still happen? Does that make its way back into the LMS? Is that an important consideration? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that still happens or that you see. We are definitely seeing an era in which companies are investing in this stuff so they can stop the, hey, come in here real quick, sign into this sheet and say we watch this or take a look at this PDF and let's get out of here and get back to work. We recognize that that's not fair to the organizations and the people that are working within the organizations themselves, right? And so but we do support and recommend in-person learning. I think in manufacturing, there's value in having hands-on experiences, especially if you're doing the work with your hands. And so whether it be pulling people into a classroom, it's really important that when a manufacturing organization picks a system to partner with, that they have the ability to run multi-channeled learning opportunities, whether it be asynchronous, live events virtually through the system to track attendance, track those records, or even in person, and then have a tool set to be able to track that attendance so that record gets on that learner's transcript.
I see. If an organization is wildly successful, how do they prove that? Like, what's a good metric or two that you've heard of that shows like this is really working inside a manufacturer. What are they measuring?
So it depends on vertical within manufacturing. There are some interesting little stats that people from a safety perspective will be looking at. Like in mining, for instance, the TIFR score. Don't ask me what it stands for. I can't remember at this moment, John, but TIFR score essentially judges your safety across your organization. And so that's one particular instance in which they're judging how they're doing within a safety component. So how many instances, damaged equipment, things of that nature. Tenure is a big one too. How much turnover do we have? And are we getting people past the 3 month mark, the 6 month mark, and then the 3 year mark are typically the real kind of areas that if I can get people past those, I can drive really big impact to our business. And so turnover is a big component of that. Another one that's really interesting in the manufacturing space is seat time. So that's why onboarding is so important. So when we start to talk about use cases in this space, it's onboarding is at the core of that. And so how do I get people in the door and productive and confident in that productivity as fast as possible? And so that reduction in seat time is a really important stat that people track as well.
All right, final question. We're out of time. It's a quick interview. We're probably past time, would be my guess. If someone's stuck with an outdated or fragmented training, or there's been a series of mergers and acquisitions like we talked about, and so there's multiple systems like the six you were talking about, where do they start to build the case? Like, if all these are just local plants in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, and who knows where, how do you get the traction to get people to notice that and to start the process of consolidation and buying a centralized system? It's kind of a big loaded question, but any low-hanging fruit to try to get the conversation going in a manufacturing organization?
Yeah, I think the biggest one and reason, especially around like the mergers and acquisitions, when there's a lot of different plants, and especially whether it be mergers and acquisitions or an organization just is widespread, what you typically start to see is that they all do very different things. And so when they're trying to understand why is A plant more productive than B plant, they do the same, they produce the same thing. Well, it comes down to a lot of either the processes, but then which how people are trained to do it. And so if they're training in different ways, if they're doing different things, that leads to some serious safety concerns, serious productivity concerns, and just you don't, it's hard to analyze and make strategic business decisions if everyone's doing different things. And so that's really where they start is saying, how do we move forward and grow from here, whether it be an initiative to reduce incident, reduce injuries, whether it be a, hey, I got to produce X more, why that plant's doing has the highest production, how can we rinse repeat that strategy? And so we start to see a consolidation and consistency goals when we are in efforts of consolidation.
Sage advice, Gil Williams, National Sales Manager, Propeller. Gil, thanks for joining me on the show today. It was great to have you here and dig deep into a real cool topic. Appreciate it.
No, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. I have a real passion around this. We've all been those professionals with very little guidance and knowing how to be successful. So if Propeller can help an organization to serve their internal and external communities to do that, that's worth the while. So I appreciate your opportunity to be able to tell our story and share some insights.
All right, it's propeller.com, but it's spelled uniquely. Go ahead, give it to us. Make sure they can get there.
Yeah, so if you want to visit us, either find me on LinkedIn or go to gopropeller.com.
And you can find more of our fiercely independent content at talentedlearning.com. Listeners, thanks for tuning in to the 98th episode of the Talented Learning Show. We hope you found value, and we'll see you on the next. Have a great day.